Independent education group Curro's mid-year report card boasts a 19% increase in revenue and a 44% surge in headline earnings as learner numbers rose by 13%. Net finance costs, however, grew by 49%, and the company expects its investment on expansion and replacement of assets to cost 1 billion rand this year. Company CEO Andries Grayling joins us to reflect on the numbers and what it suggests about the private education sector and its place in the current economy. Thanks so much, Andries, for your time this evening. So you may have reported a 44% jump in headline earnings per share, but recurring headline earnings per share rose 7% to 153 million rand. Is the latter a more accurate reflection of the growth you're seeing in the current environment, so on an organic basis?
Hi, Lisa. Thank you for having me. Yes, you're totally correct. If you look at our recurring headline earnings growth, which was only 7%, the cost of putting down our campuses the last 18 months, where we grew from 51 campuses to 68 campuses, will obviously have an effect on your profitability in the short term, as well as about 40% of our schools still need to grow into grade 12, which is your more expensive phase. So for us, the growth when it comes to the operation and profit, the EBITDA, which we grew 21%, and we grew our margin to 28%. I think it's quite recommendable for the first 6 months, and hopefully if you continue, you will absorb the interest growth going into the future.
I ask because while student numbers are up 13% as well, and that pushing the group's revenue up 19%, Andries, you've made acquisitions over the period. So is bulk of that rise as a result of the acquisitive growth you've seen?
If you analyze our growth, if you look at our models, the more IFE in the Curro model, which is the traditional schools that we started, there our learner numbers grew with about 4%. That's indication maybe, you know, that there's pressure in the market. We're also experiencing it in those schools. But the biggest growth for us, if you look at our schools in our academy markets, where we started in the lower fees, there we grew about 24%. And then organic growth was about 4%, acquisitive growth was about 4% of the learner volume. So just to summarize, the biggest growth came from our academies, which we still see going into the future, the growth will be. And as we all know, in the private school sector, the pressure on the higher fee schools are there. That means that we need to manage it better to get profitability.
Okay, so schools. The growth that you are seeing in terms of student numbers, what kind of pressure is that cushioning against as far as the number of students you're losing is concerned? Because that's what's been making headlines over the recent past, inhibiting some of the growth the private school players could be seeing. In fact, Curro saw around 18% of its learner base at the end of 2018 leave the private school group.
That's correct. If you look where we are year on year, leavers from January up to the end of June, we're standing at about 3%, 3.7% already of leavers. Main reasons being financial reasons, financial pressure or relocation. We haven't got a serious problem when it comes to immigration, just because I think our schools are pitched and our fees are pitched. But the end of December comes, parents need to relocate, need to change working environment, goes where the jobs are created, etc. You will lose a certain percentage. What we experienced over the last 3 years, that number is increasing.
Yeah.
And hopefully, if the economy change, you know, it will be better for us. If we can maintain those learners in the system, the better for our profitability, because you've got a class, you've got a teacher, so you don't want learners to leave specifically to help, you know, with the quality of education.
Andries, so amidst it all, how are you rating your pricing power right now? To what extent are you seeing margins coming under pressure, or is that pretty varied across your stable offerings?
If you look at the margins currently at the academies and our Curro schools, our margins there currently is about 35% for both the stable. So it's quite, I think there was quite a nice growth in that. And that's where you can also see us growing our EBITDA from 27% to 28% this year. The big thing that is costing us the increase in our interest while we're financing the campuses and the growth, yeah.
Having said that, there's quite a focus on increasing the utilization of your existing school infrastructure capacity in the short to medium term. Are you sitting with much idle capacity at this stage of the game?
If you open a school, you will start, you know, your entry points are grade 1 and grade 8. So we will normally only open up to grade 8 and then phase in. So if you can imagine you open grade 1 to grade 8, grade 1 you will have a full class, for example, but grade 7 you will only maybe have 7 learners because parents normally don't leave a school unless they relocate in grade 7. So your efficiency and your utilization in those higher grades while you're growing into, you know, capacity is problematic in the beginning years. So what we will see is when a school starts, you will maybe have 2 full grade 1 classes and then have lower numbers going to grade 7 and then pick up again in grade 8. We normally plan a full school will be 6 classes per grade. So you can imagine starting with 2, then later to 4, then hopefully year 3 you will be at 6 classes for that grade. And then you need to wait another 6-7 years for the school to fill up. So that's the challenge you currently got, you know. So that's why for us the spend on capital this year for our existing campuses are good news, because it means you reach a certain number and you need to create capacity at those schools for the rollover numbers and for your entry levels for the following year.
How quickly do you anticipate that unwind starting to happen, you know, that rate of growth into capacity?
It normally takes, we are currently at what we call at build capacity. So what we constructed, we are standing at 70% utilization.
Okay.
And that is basically just, there's not a lot of empty classes. It's just you're sitting with classes that, like explained now, 6-7 learners.
Absolutely.
In a class. And it's not like that you're going to fill them from the side. You need to wait for a period of, you know, filling up and growing.
And that so, inevitably would impact your fixed cost base, given that better utilization implies a bringing down of costs. So what does that do to your current ratio then of 18 children per teacher, which by even private school standards seems pretty unsustainable?
If you look at our model, the Kiro, we believe that needs to go up to about 20 learners, 22 learners per class. And then the academy model, which we actually only started in 2014, need to go up to at least 27, 28 learners per class. Obviously, as you go into high school, because of subject choices, you will have a lower ratio. But, you know, you said it correctly. So if you fill up, the bottom line will get
exactly
better, and your profitability will go up. You know, so we foresee a campus that trading at full capacity to give us at least 40% plus EBITDA margin.
Andres, let's leave it there. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, Andres Greiling, CEO of Kiro.